I was watching Germany and I don't even remember who.
Right.
And in the in between, there's a music interlude, they call it.
Yeah.
The music interlude.
Right.
And I, there's two boogie woogie guys. Early rock and roll.
Right.
You know, and then because I learned classical. So I watched, say, where's the sheet? Where's, you know,
yeah.
Singaporeans like
score sheet, yeah.
Where's the paper? How yeah, yeah, come yeah. no paper? You yeah. know, they were just expressing
yeah.
themselves. I said, yeah. what the hell is this?
All right, everybody. You know, let me just tell you something. This episode, right? This episode. Let me tell you. This man, my guest in the studio, told me that he's going to be coming with that cap of his, which I completely disagree. I'm glad he didn't, but I've got mine on, as you can see. You can see this one here.
Yeah.
This is the actual red of the Premier League. some clubs just like to go, you know, well, let's go Reds. Come on, go Reds. I say, fuck that. You're not red. Yeah, it's more like chili. This is red. Okay. And I am glad that he didn't come looking like a scouser today. Oh my goodness gracious me. Because if he did, this gentleman, let me tell you, before we pan the camera to him, if he did, I would have said so many things.
Well, you know, it's just...
No, man. If you did, I would have said, dude, why did the chicken cross the road? I mean, because thank goodness it didn't, because in the end, then we can say this very safely. The chicken that crossed the road, I am Bren. But no, thankfully he didn't come with that cap on his head. Though I know his allegiance is towards that club that I will not expand anymore. But at least he came and he crossed the road looking like Danny Lung and the chief cajones of the Timber Group. Welcome to the studio, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. You know, I mean, I've been a lifelong Liverpool.
Oh man, bad word.
What I will say is, you know, I'm on that side that respect good football. So, you know, obviously arch enemy and everything, but also respect. Also respect.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I'll give you that much. I've always said that. No. Let me get this straight, man. I've always said that there's got to be some decent respect for each other.
Of course.
Right? It just so happens that I don't get much of that from a lot of scousers, though. but thank you for saying it. I got to say. So I'm going to ask you this question before we go into, you know, deep and dirty into the stuff I really want to ask you. Mm-hmm. But I just want to ask you this, since we're on this topic, right? Do you think you guys, your club, will win the EPL this year?
Looking at the last 3 to 4 years, I don't think anyone should predict, but I'm very hopeful. You know, Klopp has announced, perhaps that has given a little bit more, you know, that energy that's required to continue. No, I'm happy with how the club's going. I mean, you know, even without Salah and major guys, you know, they're doing well. But I'm going to stop at that because, you know, that becomes a different show.
No, it's cool, man. Yeah. It's a podcast.
I mean, a Manchester United fan, home of a Manchester United fan. I don't know what to expect. I don't know.
Welcome to the mini theater of dreams, man. Come on.
Death traps. Yeah. So.
Welcome to the mini Old Trafford here, man.
Yeah,
come on, man.
But yeah, I don't know, but I'm hopeful. I'm trying to make a trip down. Probably for the Liverpool Spurs game.
You got to be careful when we made that trip down, you know, because, you know, it's a plane going, comes down to landing and it's that part of the country, you know, and all the chimney stacks out and all the smog and, you know, the pollution and stuff. And hopefully the pilot can see the runway as it comes down.
You're talking about Manchester, right?
No, I'm talking about the first industrial town England.
The last I remembered, I landed in Manchester and it was a bit smoky. It's a short train ride to Liverpool.
You mistake the wonderful fog that comes in at certain times of the season in Manchester. You know, the lovely
view.
You mean the blue side? From the ground. Oh, you mean the shitty. If there's going to be any reason why, if there's going to be any reason why the cup goes to Anfield, is simply because Shitty has been kicked out of the freaking league.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see how, we'll see. But what an exciting end, I think, you know.
You want what, Klopp leaving?
Klopp leaving. I wasn't surprised, by the way. Everybody seems surprised, but I'm not surprised. He looks tired. He looks tired. And, you know, I think I remembered there was one time when he was celebrating a goal. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of like pulled half his hamstring. I don't even remember that. I don't know if you watched the game.
But
anyway, I just and he was like, you know, he was celebrating, and I just felt like, oh wow, this guy is, you know, he's so dedicated. Uh-huh. No one can say he's not dedicated. Okay. He's dedicated to the game, and, right. and you know, I think his family and mm-hmm. health, and, you
right,
know,
right.
what's more important is health. Right, Chris, right, I'm quite sure we can both agree.
I tell you, so many scouts are saying the same thing you're saying. Okay. I'm going to end this conversation by just saying this. I'm going to have the final word in this one. I don't care, man. Well, I will just tell you, man. Tired? How many years? 9 years? Eight. 4 trophies? Hang on. Alex Ferguson, man. Sir Alex Ferguson, man. 26 years and 38 trophies. Tired? Come on, dude. He's too old to be a snowflake.
I got to tell you, of course, Ferguson did amazing, but it is a different time, though. I mean, but nevertheless, we have to respect
it. It's a different time. You're right. It's a very different
league.
You know, this is a great segue. And let me tell you why. Because if you say it's a different time, right?
Yeah.
You're right. Even the players back then, way back when, even for your club, way back when, they weren't snowflakes.
Mm-mm.
But today, for most clubs, most of these players are a bunch of snowflakes.
It's money, man. It's all about the money.
Yeah, exactly. So it's ridiculous, right? Yeah. How many years have you been with Timber? Can I call your organization Timber? Just Timber? Timber? Is that fine?
Timber Group. Timber,
okay, I don't want to disrespect
that's fine. No. Well, we started in 2005. Mm-hmm. So from 2005, we founded, me and my partner founded the brand, and we started at Substation Garden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you remember that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Timber at Substation, and that's how it rolled. History.
Then. So it's been what, 2005.
So 18,
it's been 18 years, man. So you see, you've been at it with Timber for 18 years, man. You're no snowflake.
You see what I'm saying?
And for every outlet you open, right, it's like a trophy.
Yeah.
Correct?
Nah, but you know, Klopp is a bit of a, you know, he always says heavy metal, you know, football. No, I think he's just reached his time and he's probably thinking he can't probably go on. Whatever reason he may, maybe something we don't know. We have to wait and see.
Sure.
Could be a health thing. I don't know.
It could be Xabi Alonso making way for Xabi Alonso to come
back. Maybe.
And perish the salt, you know, Mr. Banana Peel.
Who knows? You know, there's a lot of candidates. I don't want to make any comments.
Yeah, Mr. Banana Peel.
Yeah. By the way, I was there at the match, by the way.
Oh, really?
I don't want to bring that up. But I just did. So I'm just going to say it. And it was my honeymoon. Yeah. Chris, I'm so happy that you're laughing at me. But I can't believe it. And it was like, what the, you know.
Oh my gosh, he's a scouser.
But, you know, hey. That guy is another guy who's I respect. Yeah,
but you know, I mean, 18 years doing what you've been doing, right? And so funny that you brought up Substation as well. Let me give you a little bit of unknown. Well, it is definitely unknown because no one knows about this, with the exception of one or two other persons. When Substation had an outlet, it was called Fat Frog, wasn't it?
That was before us.
Did you take over Fat Frog?
No. The history was how it goes was that Fat Frog was there. They had to tear down the National Library.
You
remember that, right?
Yeah, I do.
They had to tear down S11.
Yeah, S11. I love it.
Building up SMU.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So during that time, it was just impossible, I think, you know, anyone, right? So they had to close it up for 2 to 3 years.
Right.
And during that time, there was nobody. There was nobody at the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It was so hard because it was all very dusty and, you know, and the place was a little bit like, a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
We came in after that. So 2005, mm-hmm. we started. So 2003, 2004, I don't think anyone was there. They were doing events.
Right, right.
But they were not having any FMB.
You know why I brought this up?
Why?
Do you know musician Boniface D'Souza?
Of course.
Okay.
Jazz band.
Bonnie and I were friends. Uh-huh. I used to, you know, for a short while, Bonnie used to have private gigs outside. And I used to sing jazz and rock and roll with his group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, Chris, you know, we got to go to Fat Frog. I said, why? take a look at the venue, man. Wow. So, okay, we did. What do you think? We start a place here. We take over. It didn't happen. Of course not. Yeah. Almost. And then when you guys started Timber, and we go, I went, fuck. Shucks. Damn.
Yeah.
Look at what they've become. Shucks.
Well, it was a challenging venue, though. I mean, we were very blessed. I mean, we were very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Good media coverage. You know, there's something about that place, but it's not high traffic.
Yeah, but it's very artsy. I mean, I loved it because it's such an artsy little... For some strange reason, you feel it there, don't you?
Yeah, it's a bit of the, you know, kind of like the underdog, a bit of the underground.
Yeah, yeah, a bit underground.
So it got that. Yeah. But it's not easy because it's a destination venue, right?
Right.
You wouldn't go there walking right. Hey, what's the music? Mm-hmm. You would just go there because you know there's something happening there.
But the thing about Danny Leung is that Danny Leung is the quintessential musician. We're here to pay tribute to you and tribute to you because not just because you're a muso for some time, but more so because you advocate music and musos. Okay. So thank you for that. It's my own little way of giving tribute on my tribute to SG music icons. I've been doing this for a while. I've had Gingerbread here. I've had, you know, and in the form of Anne Hussein and her husband Jason Shahu, the band leader. I've had Leonard Rezel, and together with Dudley Notice, right? So, and
well, thanks for doing what you do. I'm telling you,
and I'm going to continue doing this in my own little way because musos mean a lot to me. Not just musos, man. Anyone who advocates music, radio DJs worth their metal, I have to make that quite clear, because they are also contributory to good music, you know, on the airwaves, right? And I've had a few. I had William Xavier here, and Joe Augustine, who was formerly a radio presenter, right? I had these guys here, and John Klaus will be coming soon as well. So this is my tribute show to guys like you, But Danny Leung, before becoming the head honcho, I call you the chief cajones for Timber Group, you were a full-time musician. Now, I knew that you played gigs even before you had a band. Piano on your own?
No.
In Fullerton?
A lot more jamming. No, I never played Fullerton, but a lot of jamming.
Right.
The old Crazy Elephant.
Oh, wow.
The place called Down Under. I don't even remember Down Under.
No, Down Under. Crazy Elephant,
Orchard Meridian. I think it was Orchard Meridian. And a few clubs here that I mean we support. And then, you know, Harry's Bar.
Yeah.
Jazz.
Yeah.
I like jazz. I like blues, jazz, soul, funk. So all those places I used to go.
Mm-hmm.
I only became a full-time musician in Perth when I was studying there.
Okay.
I met my lead singer partner, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he started there.
And when you were playing in Perth, you were there studying film.
Yes, media,
Media, right?
Yeah.
In broader media.
Yeah.
And what's your first love, man? Media or music?
Wow, hard one. I would say music first, always. But, you know, I love films. I absolutely love, you know, at that time, Pulp Fiction, you know, it just came out.
Yeah,
you know, of course, The Godfather.
The series,
The trilogy.
Mm.
Goodfellas. You know, I'm a big fan of those.
Like Reservoir Dogs and all.
Exactly. That was the period where films were like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. They render.
Scorsese,
blood, gore, but then very, very classily done.
Yeah.
Even Asian films, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, you know, I was such big fans of art films. And I said, okay, since music was not always a natural something that people would say, oh, I want to be a musician, you know. In Singapore, especially if you talk race, you talk about the Chinese culture, music is kind of like the don't go there kind of thing. You know, it's like... completely, are you mad? You know, why are you doing that? Are you hanging out with the wrong people? Are you hanging out too much in the void deck? What's going on? So, you know, my room had I used to be big fans of, Miles Davis. So I had Miles Davis. My mom, you know, who's a staunch Christian, still is, and the whole family is Christian, but she used to come and say, what the? All these black people on my son's wall. So I grew up kind of like, being quite lonely.
What was the influence? What was the influence?
Oh, you know, I mean, it comes back to football, but nothing to do with Liverpool and Man U. Okay, yeah, this was World Cup.
Okay.
And during the old days, they used to show this in Channel 5, and they used to show World Cup for free.
Yeah. I remember that.
We are about the same age.
Yeah, about the same age.
So they used to show free, and it was like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
I was watching Germany, and I don't even remember who.
Right.
And in between, there's a music interlude, they call it.
Yeah.
The music interlude.
Right.
There's two boogie woogie guys. Early rock and roll.
Right.
You know, and then, because I learned classical. So I watched, say, where's the sheet? Where's, you know, Singaporeans like,
score sheet,
where's the paper? No paper. You know, they were just expressing themselves. I said, what the hell is this? You know, all my life, I thought music have to learn the skills.
Yeah, yeah.
Have to, you know, be
you were learning piano.
I was
then,
learning piano a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like, do these two guys just doing what they do and they just don't even have any, you know, reference.
Yeah.
So then I went to the record store. That's how my love for vinyl started.
Okay.
I went to the old Funan, the very old Funan.
Oh.
Where they used to have Supreme, record stores, Roxy.
Yeah.
And then I went to the guy, I remember this, I was very young, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I said, do you have any black people music? At that time, I didn't know any better. So black people, you know, sounds like church, you know. I said,
Sounds like church.
Sounds like church. You know? And then they brought out the vinyls. I bought a few.
Yeah.
And I went back to listen.
Right.
And then I taught myself
how to play
boogie woogie piano.
Wow.
That's how it all started. Blues piano.
Right.
And Ray Charles and then, you know, all those guys.
B.B. King.
B.B. King later.
Okay.
B.B. King later, but piano first.
Yeah.
And then because I was at church, and there's always a piano there.
Right.
And I tried to bring it in, you know, and you know, that didn't work. I think the pastor was saying, come on, let's have a chat. You know, you're not supposed to play Amazing Grace that way. You know?
Hey, but come on, man.
Hey.
Oh, man, I would love it, man.
Yeah, of course. Of course, you would love it. You're a rock and roll guy, right?
Oh, man.
So that's how it started. And then after that, I met a friend by the name of Bees.
Mm-hmm.
He used to work at Yamaha.
Right.
And I used to go to Yamaha and, you know, just hang out there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a oddball, Chris. You must understand. As a Chinese guy, 16-year-old, imagine this, listening to, you know, black people music blues and boogie woogie.
Yeah.
And then Bees, this long hair metal guy, was like, oh man, I like B.B. King too. So
was he Chinese?
Yeah, he's Chinese.
He kind of looks like he's
You know, Chinese version of a heavy metal guitar player.
Okay.
I'm trying to imagine. Long hand. Yeah. His name is Bees.
Yeah.
You know, B-E-E-Z. No, I'm not going to elaborate on that. But then he was also a great guy, gentle fella. And then I got started music lessons with him.
Uh-huh.
And then one day he just put earbuds on me, an old Walkman.
Right.
And said, listen to this one. And then that's where I first heard Eric Clapton.
Mm-hmm.
Have You Ever Loved a Woman?
Okay.
Which is the Derek and Domino's band.
Okay.
He was part of it. And that was like, wow, what is this? You know, and then after, of course, you know, listen to Wonderful Tonight, Let It Be.
This must have been in the 80s.
80s, yeah.
88 for you probably.
For me, yes.
Yeah.
I was singing the blues,
right.
But then I started listening to the Beatles. And then I discovered B.B. King.
Yeah.
And long and short of it, I met B.B. King finally, 1992, when he was in Singapore.
Wow.
Watched him live. I tell you, Chris, it wasn't any enlightening. And you know, when you see the Blues Brothers movie, there's a light coming and I said, oh, I'm on a mission from God.
Yeah.
That was me. I was there watching B.B. King. I was saying, oh man, this is what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
And the light shone on me. I said, wow.
So there were no influences at all from the home?
No.
You're the first, you know?
No.
You're the first guy.
No.
Let me tell you why.
To be clear, my dad loved CCR.
Okay.
Loved Deep Purple. But you know, it wasn't like he played guitar. So I kind of liked the music that he played.
Right.
He played ABBA and Bonnie M.
Right.
You know those days.
Yeah.
Every time Christmas, you always hear, the rivers of
Babylon.
Everybody's Beatle. Right. So that's all. But playing music, being in church, being Chinese. My mom's very Chinese. My mom's side is very Chinese. It's like, whoa, don't go there. You're Ben Boyer. You know, kind of thing.
Mm.
So, you're right. It didn't come from the home in that way.
Right.
In fact, it came from the home in an antithesis way.
Right.
Because I don't go there. And you know me, when you say don't go there, I go there. Maybe it's hanging out with too many St. Pat's boys.
Absolutely, man.
Was a bit like, you know.
You know what we say? You know what we say? And I said this. We had the 90th anniversary dinner recently. I saw that. And that was one of the MCs,
you
right?
Sang.
I sang. Yeah. Jamming the band. You know, that school of mine, I'm so proud of that school, easily said, so many great musos and entertainers came out of that school. And I don't know whether I can include myself in it, but never mind. The point is that also 90% of media include personalities.
Include yourself, Chris. Come on. Don't forget the KC girls were not doing badly too.
Actually, yeah, you're quite right.
Same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of talented people.
Yeah, a lot. Loads of them. And, you know, and 90% of media personalities in Singapore, you know, recent times come out of my school. And funny enough, I actually said this, you know, on stage. So there's another version of our motto, because our motto is protest revolt. It's protest and revolt. Protest and revolt.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's not because we are rebels, you know. It's the very fact that we grew up not being passive. We speak our minds. You know what I mean? I am not one to hold back, man. I don't give a flying fuck. You know, I'll just say it as it is. Call a spade, right? And yeah, the musos that came out of that school. And the funny part is, like you, your folks, because you're Chinese, right? I'm half Chinese. My mom's Chinese. My mom, dad, not musos at all. Not just my sister. My sister writes very well. I think everyone knows who she is. Excuse me. And, you know, myself included, along with all others that I've had on this show for this series, musos, DJs, influence came from where? Home. You're the first that's telling me, not really.
Not really. Not really. There's some bit of it, but not really.
Yeah. So there's a break now, you know?
But it's a very lonely
I'm pretty
part.
Sure.
And
pretty
in a way, it's helped me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I could focus, you know, without the distractions.
Seriously. Well, that's one way of looking at it.
It is. Because, you know, it's almost like, how do I put it? I every time I go for Chinese New Year dinner, I dread it. I dread meeting relatives sometimes because they may not fully understand where I'm coming from. But, you know, and then they look at my mom and feel sorry for her. How come this one come out like that?
It sucks,
know?
Huh?
My daughter this, my son that, you know, and... In some ways, even at a young age, I felt like, okay, my road is gonna be a little bit hard, and challenging, But I'm gonna go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go for it, and I don't want to bring any football analogies into it, but the great football clubs of the world, they never give up. I include other football clubs, they don't give up.
Okay.
They don't give up, you know?
Okay.
I've always said, I'm going to stick to it. You know? But I couldn't really share a lot with, you know.
People. With the family.
No, I can't. Even my friends.
Right.
They were at that time listening to Pet Shop Boys. You know. Me too. I mean, you know, they were listening to all those, you know.
Pop music,
Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, that era, right? OMD. My favorite band was OMD.
Whoa.
You know, Erasure.
Okay.
All those are my favorite bands, you know. And I used to listen to Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh my, relax,
remember that, man? Relax.
Two Tribes.
All those good stuff.
Yeah.
But I always go back to the blues. Something about it. It's something about the blues because remember I talked about B.B. King.
Yeah.
I remembered him in his shiny jacket.
Right.
He comes out, right? And everybody's like, wow, shiny. And then his Gibson Lucille.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
His name, Lucille, he calls his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just saying, you know, I was just a young man from the fields, you know, in Mississippi. And he was telling this story. I was like, wow. Preach to me, man. Preach to me. And for some reason, I think the blues kind of represents, I guess, I mean, if African-Americans can make it with music and art in a society that
was repressive,
was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, they never have a dream of being a lawyer, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then they can come up and they wear a suit. And then when they wear a suit, they are on stage. They take over the stage.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing about music that I love.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, how old you are. When you go on stage, you have that microphone.
Right.
You're in charge.
Yeah.
Right. How you do, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're in charge.
Yeah.
And that blew me away because, you know, I've loved the blues all this while, but also African American church music, gospel music.
Gospel, yeah.
Absolutely. These people went through a lot.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what they went through, right?
I mean, imagine Elvis's influence also came mostly from black gospel music, right? And the blues, Mississippi blues, and Memphis blues. Yeah. And then after that, he amalgamated everything into one little lovely ball and called it rock and roll, man. Absolutely. You know, and he had his shit too when he was coming up, right? I guess you're right. There's something about the blues. It's the backbone of a lot of popular music anyway.
It is.
Yeah, it's a backbone. And but anyway, how many instruments do you play? I know now, piano, guitar.
Guitar is my favorite because something about the guitar, you know. you know, something, it's like I don't call it a weapon. So some people will call it a weapon. Like Jimi Hendrix would look at it as a way of saying, hey, anti-war, et cetera, you know, with the guitar.
But
for me, it's just empowerment. Guitar is just an empowerment. Mm-hmm. And the piano, to me, is more of a supporting role.
Right.
I love it. You know, Ray Charles is a great lead role, but a lot of it is more supporting. Yep. I like that because I kind of play the B3 and Rhodes style, a bit more of the old school style with my band. And I'm happy to support on the back. But when I play the guitar, I'm going in front.
Yeah.
There's something about the guitar, you know, it's a bit like the microphone. You're going to be in front and you're going to be strutting, you're going to be bending that string, right?
Yeah.
So I love both. But that's about it. I play a little bit of harmonica because, you know, you're a blues fan. Mm-hmm.
Where do you learn all this?
B's taught me a little. B's my first guitar and only guitar teacher.
Right.
And I still remember going to his house and he didn't, at that time, in those days, there were like studios and all. So we played literally outside his house.
Mm-hmm.
Literally like a common corridor, HDB.
Yeah.
With a small M.
Yeah.
And, you know, and basically a lot of it is him, but most of it is really listening to B.B. King, Clapton, then later on Rolling Stones, you know, Muddy Waters.
Wow.
All those cats, you know, and the British blues
and
American blues kind of intertwine.
But it's so strange, man. As you said, you know, back then, I mean, in the 80s, I don't really know many people who listen to the blues. Even back in school, the guys you and I both know who become really big names and musos in the industry in Singapore, these guys were playing jazz fusion. They were playing Shack Attack, you know, Cassiopeia, right?
Wow.
Shit Korea, right?
Spyro Gyra.
Spyro Gyra. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So, you know, and that already we found like, oh yeah, this is really going left field here. When everyone else was listening to, we were listening to Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, Depeche Mode, right?
Level 42.
What was his name now? Mark King. Yeah. But your influence was more than just left field. It was something that people really don't go into, you know, at that age.
Yeah, well, I mean, something about the blues and gospel music hit me. But when I was in Perth in 1996, that kind of started the fire.
Okay.
And it eventually became from my band, U Blues.
Yeah.
I started a band called U Blues. It's short for Universal Blues.
Right.
But only because 96 was Pauline Hanson. It's close to your name.
I know, but not related in any way.
S-O-N. But
same spelling. Same spelling. Exactly the same.
Okay, I didn't know. But she came about and I had a bit of bad experience on the streets, Fremantle, in Northbridge, you know, and that was, the society changed a little bit in Australia. Yeah,
got a racist.
Whatever that was underneath was coming out because, you know, a lady that looks like your auntie is talking in there like, well, she says it, I can say it too. So I went through a few of those things and that really hit home for me about the music.
Right.
Because initially, you know, you live in Singapore, you're part of the majority race, you know, but then when you are in Perth and you stand out on the street and you have people having negative views of you, especially because politically it's changing. Yep. That's where I started to say, really gone into deep into the history of the blues.
Right.
My honest year thesis was about universal blues, about the history of racism, slavery to Australia, from the Asian migration to Australia.
Right.
So I did a paper on that. And from that, started my whole career in music, because then I found I met my lead singer, Trevor, and we started the band U Blues.
Right.
And eventually we came back to Singapore and we managed to tour quite a lot of the world.
Yeah.
That really is the first driving force of eventually what Timber became. Because Timber is actually my expression of what I hope. Music brings people together. Okay. There's very few things in this world, really, that brings people together.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what's your opinion now? I mean, look, this is something I've always brought up. Yeah. And the state of music today in Singapore, what is your opinion of it? You're right to say, sorry to just interject for the minute. I know I just asked a question, but when way back when we were in our 20s and into our 30s, music was great here, in my opinion. Okay, I say this to all my friends who've been on the show and I've given tribute to all of them. Music was great. We've had the likes of Dennis Fu, love the man, the Europa group, right? And no doubt, brought in the Filipino bands into Singapore, the performers, and they were great. You know, I thought it was good for us. Why? Because it's good to have competition.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And we have had bands that grew up also, you know, under that pressure. Right? Great bands. They came along, right? From the early 80s, late 70s even, you know, and all the way up throughout when you have the Class Acts album that came out, right? Heritage, Gingerbread, Gypsy, Speedway, K. Hamid, Iskandar Ismail, right? Hang Loose. And the list can go on. And then after that, of course, you had Culture Shock, that then Dougie went to Energy, and then, you know, and John Kruger, you know. And these guys, the bands of music started to grow and grow and grow and grow. There was a lot of space for that. A lot of space. And despite the fact that we have also had great Filipinos who performed here, right? Guys like Gino Sunga has not gone back to the Philippines, right? The boys.
Oh my goodness.
Some of
the boys are still here.
Yeah, I know. Gilbert is still here.
Yeah, they do play at the, I have a new bar called Blackbird. And, some of them do play with us. Rene Hombre, who's been there, done that with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was the boys. Under Dennis. Some of them are still around. And some of them became Singaporeans. Married, you know.
Yeah, married local
and have kids now.
Yeah, like Gilbert.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Gilbert is one of them.
Baldoza.
And I think that, some of them just basically say, hey, you know, I'm going to make Singapore my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's, you got to respect that.
You know? Yeah, I do.
Stay here.
Yeah, yeah, of course. You let the music stay, man.
Yeah.
You know, but today, outside of Blackbird and outside of Timber. Okay? How's music, the state of music in your opinion here?
It's not as good as before.
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing full-time, started the year 2002 right, in Singapore, I was very fortunate because at that time, as you say, they were fantastic clubs, legendary clubs.
Right.
You have Crazy Elephant, Walla Walla, you had, you know, Swing. You had all this. And we started our career in Albury's. Albury's at Winsland.
My goodness.
Yeah,
me.
So that was
name, I haven't heard in a long time.
First regular gig.
Right.
And I used to go to Fat Frog, watch Hanjin, and then, because it's not that far.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, we had a regular gig at Albury's, and then the Twin Towers fell. And then there was 6 months of no work because economy just went nuts.
Yeah.
And then we got a gig at Swing.
Right.
And we stayed at Swing all the way to the end.
Right.
So it was very vibrant. Swing was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you used to go in there at 3 o'clock and there'd still be music.
Yeah.
And we'll be still playing.
And musicians who end their shift.
Yeah, they will go there.
They go there and jam.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of, some of them are alcoholic. But anyway, that's besides the point. But that's the only place open anyway.
Yeah.
Either you have a teh tarik somewhere. But it was a wonderful experience. I think the difference from then to the, for now is that, you know, the focus on band music has just dropped dramatically. So that's one reason.
Right.
It's something external that we can't fully control. I mean, technology, TikTok, everything is now more about the artists rather than the band. You know, in the old days, you had bands, Coldplay, you know, now they're playing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, U2, Coldplay, and all those bands, and American bands, you know, Vertical Horizon, bands like that, right?
Right.
They were still bands.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when you think about bands, you don't think about, you know, you think about names.
Yeah.
You think about artist names.
Right.
A lot of it is sort of
Taylor Swift.
And then sequence music.
Yeah.
Because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
So economics have changed the presentation somewhat. Young people may not see a 4-piece, 5-piece like we used to.
Yeah.
So in their minds, they say, oh, as long as you have a producer, you can have a singer and then, you know, save a lot of money and you still sell tickets.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Ed Sheeran is a great example.
Right.
And but he's different. He's saying, I don't want to do a band. I'll just do a solo.
Yeah.
And he's done very well. So that's changed the mindset. The focus on bands like we used to know, just not there anymore. You know, our days, you have Oasis, you have bands like that. You know, you have Suede, you know, you know, all those bands.
Yeah.
Still kind of underground, but still quite strong.
Right.
Now you don't really think about it. But that's one reason. The other reason is also Singapore is a very young country. So English is not still a cultural language for us in a way.
Mm.
We get a bit embarrassed when Singlish is played around and not talked around. I love Singlish, but you know, it's a bit of the dilemma. You know, how are we speaking the language? Mm. Are we always reminded that are we speaking properly?
Mm.
You know, so in that kind of environment, you know, when you go to the States, the black guys don't care.
Yeah.
You can't even understand half a sentence, but they don't care.
Yeah.
They feel proud of what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then it became hip hop and then it became new words are formed and they make millions of dollars.
Yeah, evolved.
They evolved. But the thing is, then the white people over there think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
New words are formed, you know.
Yeah.
That's creativity.
Right.
In a comfortable safe zone.
Right.
We don't actually have that here.
Mm. What do you mean by comfortable safe zone?
I mean African-American history, for particularly African-American art forms.
Mm-hmm.
They have reached a point where they don't feel embarrassed or shy. They are mainstream.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it got to go there, right?
Yeah, but what is not safe and comfortable here in Singapore?
Firstly, because we are multi-language. We are
multilingual. Yeah.
And we are young.
Right.
You know, where else they have been around for a longer time and through very difficult circumstances.
So you're saying we have an identity crisis?
Sometimes. I think I feel that way. And you know, I just give you one example. Remember the days where you had debates?
Yep. National debates.
National debates in school debates.
That's when we first saw Dr. Vivian Balakrishnan.
That's right.
In uniform.
That's right. So we used to have that culture where we could say, hey, I disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, when you do that, it's online and it's all a bit, you know.
You get called out. You got to woke people out there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's we can't have a, like me and you, we come from a similar generation. We can't have that kind of respectful debate.
Right.
Even though you're wearing a wrong...
no, it's not wrong. It is very right.
I'm just kidding. But, you know, we can have that dialogue.
Yeah.
We can have that discussion.
Yeah.
And without feeling like we are being passive aggressive you know, anxiety.
Open, frank, straight discussion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Today you do this to someone else, just talking to them, they get offended just because you're talking to them.
Correct. So, so that's why I think. And then of course, the third reason would be that, how do I put this? I mean, how do we value our art? That's so important. You know, you know, in Japan, in New York, even though the buskers are, you know, they're just on the streets, on Melbourne.
Yeah.
There is this culture of saying, hey, you know what? Good job, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
They're revered. They're respected.
You know, even though you're so talented, my goodness, you should do this, you should do that.
Right.
You know, oh, wow, where can I buy your CD?
Right.
You know, and when I was in Perth, that's what happened. We sold out our CDs. We released an album and we sold out, you know, within four months.
Right.
We did festivals and we're selling out. But not so much here. You know?
Here you go, like what's? It's the same thing. Ben Boy,
Yeah. I like your post. I like your Instagram, but that's enough.
Yeah.
How can it be?
Yeah, exactly. And then they expect you to do shows for them free.
Yeah.
If not, to pay you $20.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I had General Ling here, Elaine, who's a beatboxer, right?
Yeah.
And she actually said on this show, right? And I gave tribute to her and her other half, Z Loco, that, you know, she told me that, look, man, they offered to pay us $20. I said, what? You know, and it's sad because we are not valued. Musos and entertainers per se, somehow not valued.
Mm.
Society sees us as these people, botate, you know, not educated enough. They can't get a proper job, you know, and they end up doing this. Yeah. And I think that's really sad. The arts and entertainment seem to have flown out the freaking proverbial window. You know, and I don't know. If you say safe place, a safe space, it's the safe space can only happen when society starts to change the mindsets about people in this profession. And I also lament about something else, which is something I want to ask you, because Timber Group started with core values that include this one particular one, and that is to value your musicians, right? I lament about the musicians of old that are still playing, can still play, they're still able, but no one is cherishing them. That is my problem. Something I don't like to see happen. Because these guys, everyone was young once. You look good, sound great, but you get better at it. You see, that's one thing beautiful about music. As we age, right, we get better at it. More often than not. As long as our mental capacities and our physical abilities are still available, we get better at it. But these guys are largely forgotten. That was the first thing, first reason that compelled me to start this series. Okay? First reason, number one, society has got to change its mindset. And then, of course, looking around, and I've heard this from all my guests, bar owners, club owners, no longer hire. And they hire three pieces. And like you said, we don't see the big bands anymore. But again, in our context, in my view, is that they don't want to pay. One. Two. They don't want to try to get to the point where they have to pay for an entertainment license. Three. There are so many other mediums available where you can actually use digital stuff and play. They don't even hire DJs anymore. And I really think, man, come on, you know, we have got to make our music scene a lot more vibrant. Acoustic isn't just a thing. It's also about, can we afford it? Right? So that's how I see it. We are going down a drain. Then you have, well, in terms of recording artists, well, yeah, we've got a couple of good ones, you know, in the last couple of years, right? But then now you see a lot more hip hop guys, a lot more rap, right? But what happened to your conventional music? You have bands, no more bands. You're right. There's no more bands going out there, man. We're looking at maybe a cappella groups, but not bands. We're looking at solo singers, but not solo artists, but not bands. The way I see it, if the music scene don't stoke that fire, it's going to be like this. That's my point. And now with Timber Group, I mean, come on, man. Supersonic is amazing. I had Afwan, who was here, right? Yeah. Great guy. Yeah. The reason why I asked him, because he's current and worthy. I'm a stickler, huh? Danny, let me just tell you. Yeah. Not everyone will be invited to the show.
Sure.
Okay. You're here and thank you for being here. Afwan was here and that's because I really think highly of him, you know, and what he does and how his band performs. I've been to your to Timber Plus, of course. Mm-hmm. I've watched him play. I go there because of them, right? Band's great. You hardly find something like that anymore. So what I'm saying here is that, look, man, if bar owners, club owners don't stoke that fire, there can be no smoke.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But anyone that tries to put a ban on a bar setting, I have to say I have full respect because I know how hard it is.
I mean,
how much can you pay for a beer?
Right? Yeah.
You know, how much more can you pay for a beer to have a band perform for you? Because don't forget, a lot of people don't realize, I want to be very clear here. A lot of these bands, whether it's a two-piece, four-piece, six-piece, to me, well, of course it matters, but more importantly, these musicians are paid.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, I'm not saying everybody pays them, but I think most of the respectable companies pay. So that's the first thing. It's an investment, right, onto something that could attract the footfall, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that has to also be supported by the audience. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The audience have to come in
and
support the musicians. How many times I've had situations when people ask me, "Hey, you pay the bands?"
Uh-huh.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know. So that's why I say, yeah, right? It comes from a place of respect. It comes from a place of changing mindsets.
Yeah.
But it also starts with them understanding a bit of the economics of it. You know, when you have a venue, like a venue that doesn't have a band and a venue that has a band, there's a cost difference. The venue that doesn't have the band will charge you X dollar for the beer,
right,
but no band. But
right,
what about the venues that do have a band? Then there's, you know, sound engineer,
right,
stage,
right,
and then extra space for performance,
right,
less sitting.
Which means your drinks are going to be charged
more.
Yeah,
that's right. But, you know, that has not really happened, you know, partly because we come from a country that don't believe in cover charge or don't practice cover charge.
But wait a second. Let me stop you there. Cover charge
used to be that in the old days.
No more?
Long time no more.
Really?
You know, most places don't
Where the hell have I been?
Yeah, you know, Zouk used to have that, you know, $25,
$30,
$35. It was a standard thing.
Right.
Wala Wala used to do that at one point.
And we were accepting it.
Yeah. And not anymore. Because, you know, there are a lot more bars with live music.
Right.
And a lot of them, for example, in the very highly populated areas may not need to charge cover charge. I don't know what the reason might be, but what it has made it so for the audience, the expectations is to go to a place and not pay for cover charge. Right. So that hasn't really helped. But in other words, what I'm trying to say is that it remains very challenging for anyone who has live bands.
Right.
For our part, when we do what we do at Timber and so at Blackbird, is that we try to feature all these bands that we can. Supersonics one, 53A is another one.
Right.
A lot of these bands, The Vibes,
right,
with us. Rafi Ali, the
footballer,
he's drums with us too. And we try to support them.
Mm.
But we can't just stay stagnant. So what we do is we try to have events in internal events. We even have tribute nights.
Right.
So for example, Afwan and The Vibes were doing an 80s and 90s rock tribute.
Right.
So we do that. We say, hey, can you do a tribute? And then we try to attract new crowd to
come. Right.
So we have to make really a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And recently we'd had the Beatles tribute.
Right.
With the Day Trippers.
Right.
And that was really well received. You know, Beatles line.
Yeah, I mean, of course you can't go wrong. But
all the songs you
sing. This is what I mean. But the point is also is that the other places, other venues can also take a leaf out of your playbook, out of Timber's playbook, you know, and do the same. It's about work. It's about putting in the work, like what you just said. You know, we can have this going on. We can have retro night going on. We can plan all the promos and we can do all that. What I'm trying to say here is that, first of all, I'm quite stunned that nobody charges cover charge anymore. Maybe because I'm such a good boy, I don't go out and booze him very much. You know, last couple of years.
You soon.
Oh yes, please. I need to get a life. Okay. And at the same time, you know, not understanding that bands have to be paid.
Some people don't understand. Some people do. Not saying all of them don't. But there's one more point I have to put out. I spent 3 years in Australia. you must understand, an Asian musician in a room packed with white people. Mostly,
mm-hmm.
You have to kind of sort of be more self-aware of where you are.
Right.
Sometimes I play in biker bars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gangs, you know, bikers in Australia, basically the gangs.
Yeah, not exactly Wicked Wallet, right?
No. I played in an Ascot Blues Festival and I was stunned. I couldn't believe how many Harleys they were there. And it was how many bikes were there. And it was about maybe 3,000 bikers.
Right.
And, you know, I looked like a poly student at that time, you know, just come out of poly glasses, you know. but you know, we have to be just a little bit more alert, right? But more importantly, I had to market myself, do mm-hmm. my own poster, mm-hmm. sell my own tickets, mm-hmm. do my own PR.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford any of those.
Right.
We had to do everything. And that's the thing about Australia. You know, most bands in Australia will buy a station wagon.
Right.
You know why? Mm-hmm. They can put their equipment
in.
When mm-hmm. you go to a venue, none of the venues provide a backline. Right. You have to, you know, literally set it up on your own.
Yeah.
And none of them have a sound engineer.
Yeah.
Some of them will have, most of them don't.
Yeah, it sounds like
fun.
And then
you're going to do everything.
Sounds like fun, man.
It's great. It's great, but nobody told me. Singapore, you know, everything's provided. So,
but Danny, along the same vein, man, I mean, I didn't do anything in Australia. I'm a BTC. You know what's a BTC?
No.
Okay. And really, it's true. And when we started doing these things, right, I was 16 years old moving forward. And I got behind a microphone, right? And then started singing, hosting, blah, blah, blah. Now, what we used to do, same thing. Van. Rent a freaking van. Equipment, you know? With a T-shaped console and all that, you know, the Mark II turntables, racks and racks of records and speakers, man, they were bigger than you, right? The PVs, the SP2s, you know?
The home parties.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah, exactly. And we set it up. That. We set them all up, right? With the lights and everything. And then after that, sweating like shit, grab a towel, wipe down, put on a suit and do the show.
I know.
Then take it off again, put on another dry T-shirt and tear down.
Tear down.
But you know what, man? All this you see in this studio, how do you think I know how to set up?
Yeah.
It's because of those years.
Yep.
And it was great.
Yep.
Because we started to value ourselves, man. Mm-hmm. We started to value. We understood our value. Mm-hmm. Back then, we get paid $150, sure. But as we got older and we got more commercially mature, and we look back, guys like me, and we go, you know what? Bloody hell, you pay me what I'm worth, man, because this is what I know and this is what I can do, you know? So I think what you went through, almost similar to what we went through.
Same thing.
Yeah.
We had to set up everything.
Yeah, exactly. And that made us see value. And including the muses came before us. They know their value, man.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You spoke about Hang Loose, Iskandar, right?
Iskandar, yeah, the late, great Iskandar.
My bass player from U Blues to now Raw Earth,
mm-hmm.
He's a bass player for Iskandar. So I spent a lot of time talking to the older musicians like you do.
Yeah.
And I got so much wisdom from them.
Yeah, so much.
But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, it's a different environment like Australia or even other countries who don't have that kind of comfort. You know, you just go to the venue, everything's provided, and we complain about the sound engineer or, you know, you don't have that in Australia. And, and I treasure that. I really cherish that. I hope that what I talk about audience, I talked about mindsets, you mm-hmm. talked about, you know, how people don't pay cover charge anymore, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. Musicians paid, but the musicians themselves, I think, also may have to just pull up their socks and say, how do I market these gigs better?
Mm-hmm.
How do I do social media promotions? How do I work with the venues?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding a bit of the business. Because after COVID, it's not necessarily easier.
Sure.
Everybody thought after COVID, everything's going to be boomtown Charlie.
Right.
It hasn't happened. You know, with cost increase, inflation, everything, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on, but there's a list of things.
Yeah.
Everything is
a whole
expensive,
litany of things, yeah.
Right? Manpower is more expensive, harder to get manpower, even though a lot of places are closing down, probably easier now.
Mm-hmm.
But all these problems have come up. So it's going to be more challenging. And we're going to find a way. That's why Timber Plus One Off, or I don't know which one you go.
One Off.
Yeah. It's a business model that we focus now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about a bar, a restaurant. It's about food, variety of food, but variety of drinks. Now that's where the that's where we had to pivot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So based on that business model, it's a lot better for us now, you know.
What do you think, coming back, you know, strictly to the point where how society can really grow to understand, respect, and value musos and entertainers? How could there be a, excuse me,
bless you.
Macro, thank you, a macro plan from, say, an association body, from, say, the government's perspective on how they can help grow this?
So I'm part of a few charity groups. You know, I'm chairman of SG Muso. You talk about SG Muso.
Exactly why I asked.
Actually,
right person for me to ask.
Yeah, and we were quite quiet. Obviously, COVID has hit us hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we're quite quiet. And now we actually did some live stream grants and sponsorships. But now we are actually waiting for our venue.
Right.
We have actually a venue coming up where it's basically a space for performance. And as you mentioned just now, you know, it's how do we then get our veteran musicians?
Yeah.
How do we get our current musicians? How do we get bands that do the original music?
Right.
A space for them.
Right.
That's what we are working towards. And come April, I think April or May, we will probably have the space.
Mm-hmm.
And then gives us a lot of an avenue for opportunities.
Right.
To do a Veterans Night.
Right.
To do, get, you know, a Boniface to come or do co-organize events with musicians.
Right.
Right. The problem is real estate. You know how expensive Singapore is.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we want to provide a space whereby it's heavily discounted for them to be able to do shows.
Have you heard about what Temasek Shophouse has been doing?
Who?
Temasek Shophouse.
No, I haven't.
Okay. This has been happening, but recently they've slowed it down because they've taken over some more units along Dhoby Ghaut. Mm. And it's by Temasek. And Temasek Shophouse has a stage. Not a stage, no. It gave a platform for musos to come in and jam. Mm. Right? And it used to happen every Thursday, from 5 p.m. to maybe 9 p.m. I used to be there for a while. And then, of course, I'm not there anymore. Mm. But they're still going on. Once they renovate it, they've taken over the new space. It's going to come back. Mm. So that is one thing that they're doing. Yeah, but I think that there's got to be a bigger, louder shout out for this thing.
Sure, sure. And mindsets take time to change, You know, we didn't have to change mindsets.
But no one's leading the way for that, man. Well, get society change mindsets.
I've been doing this for a while and I agree with you.
Mm.
We don't exactly have a united voice.
Yeah.
You know, some musicians, you know, have their own clique and other musicians have their own clique.
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually come together.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long while, that was my hope for SG Muso.
Right.
When we first started SG Muso, I told that then chairman, I said, what we need to do is unite people as much as we can. We can't change everybody, but at least we get most of them in.
Yeah.
And we have a venue that actually is run by musicians, run for musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a better hope because if it's not expensive to run an event or a concert, that is a good starting point.
Right.
You know, you want to do something in an established venue, it's going to cost money.
Right.
But we're going to say, okay, this is a package. Let's work together. Mm. Let's be partners. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever we make, we do the split fairly. And we sell F&B.
Right.
Right. We do the split there.
Right.
Then they understand, oh, okay, hey, I can do my own event now.
Right.
I mean, even if it's once every 3 months, at least it's something to work towards.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone can just come to us and we can co-organize this.
Right.
And then we can raise money for them.
Okay.
So that's all really. And then the good thing about it is that because the venue is reasonably affordable, and like I said, we are going to announce that quite soon, hopefully soon.
Mm-hmm.
you it gives it opens up a lot of opportunities for bands to have a voice.
Right.
And I really hope that audiences understand that if they don't put down their investment.
Right.
What do I mean by that? They come down, they say, you know, I love you guys. Hey, how much is the tickets?
Yeah.
$25, no problem, man.
Right.
If you don't do that, how do you expect them to be paid?
Yeah. I'm hoping to see what's going to be happening in this couple of next few weekends or day. I think February, if I'm not mistaken. There are a few concerts coming up at the Esplanade and tickets are on sale, like 30, 35 bucks, something like that. And I really hope to see a good turnout, you know, for these. You got people like, I'm giving you guys free promo, yay, man. Sean DeMello together with Wayne Sands playing retro. And then you've got the siblings, Mel and Joe, Ernesto and Greg.
That. Yeah.
You know, and I really, really hope that there's going to be a crowd, really, the people who are willing to pay, because it makes me sick when you pay so much money to watch Taylor Swift. Even on Carousel, and people really hawk these fucking tickets, right? I mean, Coldplay, no disrespect to Coldplay, you know? And take a look at the turnout, man, at the Singapore Stadium, right? I mean, it's wow. Just as much as U2, I was at U2. I was dying to watch U2. It's 30 plus years waiting for these guys to come here.
I was there.
Oh, awesome, huh? Yeah. And, you know, but our own homegrown talents, young or old, veterans or otherwise, is something that we should support. I want to say this, really. I mean, stop being such fucking numbnuts, man. You know, life is more than just about work and home and kids. Got to get some music into your system. I said it so often and I'll say it again. A nation has lost its music, has lost its soul. And now coming back to that little thing about, oh, you want to be Ben Boyer. Chinese, yeah. I know that. Really Ben Boy. We Eurasians, man. Hey, Eurasian must be Ben Boy, lah.
Same for our Malay brothers and sisters. Same. Similar.
You flip the coin, man. Flip the coin over, man. It's another side you're looking at. it's stereotyped over and over again. But how about you? You've got a kid, right? How old is your kid?
He's 19, 20 months. Yeah. Come May, he's 2.
Wow. Okay. Long way to go, my friend.
I'm late in the game. Yeah. But never too late. It's
never
a blessing.
Too late.
It's
never,
a
don't worry about it. I'm not that young a dad either. my son is coming 15. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Wow. It's been a wonderful journey.
I can't imagine if my son turns 15.
It's been a wonderful journey. I can tell you. And you know something? Now that I'm on that topic, I share this something with you and for everyone to listen to and watch and listen to. You know, He's from my school. He's in St. Pat's. I love St. Pat's. I still do. I love St. Pat's so much. And even more now, because you know what they're doing? The music lessons are serious, yeah? I've met the music teachers. I've worked with them. They're amazing. I've never seen so much talent. And voices are so amazing. Blows your mind, yeah? And I don't give out these compliments so easily, let me tell you. But my son, I'm the kind of dad that's not going to be like other crazy parents who are helicoptering their children, yeah? Weekends, you're going to go for tuition. From tuition, you're going to go for piano, or you're going to go for this and that, taekwondo. No. You tell me, you go figure out what you want, what you like. And we've been doing that all his life, right? And I'm very glad the way he turned out, to be honest. I didn't put him through anything musical. Yeah. He represented Singapore last year, in sport, at least, you know, and that's great. Right? And it's all on his own. Yeah. So let a guy grow on his own. That's my belief, my wife and I. But musically, nothing. Okay. When the St. Pat's, the principal promised all of us, all the parents, by the time your son leaves the school, in 4 years, okay, from secondary one to sec four, he can play at least 2 instruments. Mm-hmm. My boy came back one day and said, I got to be off all made to form bands. 5-piece. They're all made to form as part of your assignment, yeah? And then they have to play 2 songs. So first one, they've already accomplished. Beat It Michael Jackson, right? And he started playing bass. Mm. And I went, you what? Yeah, yeah, I play bass. Mm. How? The school taught. Mm. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Then they have hip hop class. If even though that is elective, okay, hip hop. And right now they're considering still myself, my good old buddy, old friend of mine, Glenn Ong, and together with Andre Hooden, go over and teach media. And, you know, for me, voice, right? Broadcast, blah, blah, blah. And so the school, there's one school in my old school that's still doing what it can to make sure that this country and we can still produce moving forward new musos, entertainers, media personalities. You know what I mean? And I think that's great because there is no, oh, you know, I don't want many rare schools. It's all about academics. I think it's wonderful. There's one school that's playing its part. And I think it should spread across the board.
Yes. We're actually working with MOE on this one.
Oh, really?
I have a music academy.
That one I know, yeah.
It's part of the ecosystem of what we do. And we are working with MOE on a new direction. Mm. And you're right. If every school offers this for all students, then the mindsets can change. We believe in the next generation and the next generation. It has to start now. Yeah. So you're right. I mean, for me, that's what I've been telling them. It has to be a somewhat standardized syllabus, right? But more focus on band and instruments.
Right.
Like your kid.
Yeah.
You know, playing beat it or even local music.
Yeah.
Even local songs. Even regional songs.
Right.
You know? I've done about 3 concerts for Filipino bands.
Mm.
We sold out everyone. Almost every one of them. We sold 700 tickets.
Wow.
At $50 and $80.
Wow.
$80 is a meet and greet. And we do it at Timber Plus One North.
Right.
We have one coming up I believe it was April. If I'm not wrong. And like I said, you just look at the Filipinos. They are so proud of their artists.
Right.
So proud of their bands.
They are, yeah.
They know every word to the songs.
Yeah.
We could do the same, but it will take some time.
Yeah.
But it starts from the school. It starts from your school. Your kid is a great example.
Starts from the school is one thing, my friend. But I think the biggest influence is the home.
Sure.
Why? A couple of years ago, I was asked to give the primary sixes of my old primary school. And something happened in front of my eyes. 12-year-old boys, yeah. There's a Filipino boy. And our local boys around him. And of course, I was covering stuff like, okay, emceeing, you know, voice artists, blah, blah, blah. And this, so I asked the small group, they're all coming in groups. So I asked this particular group, any one of you here play an instrument, a musical instrument? So this Filipino boy put up his hand, yeah, I do. I play the guitar. Then after that, the other kid, which is this local boy, asked me, how much money can you guys make?
Hmm.
I said, wow, that's the first question that comes out of your mouth, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because my parents always say that don't do something that doesn't pay you much. And this kid said, I asked the other boy, ignored this kid. I said, no point, pointless. So I asked the Filipino boy, so what are you going to do if you thought about what you want to do when you grow up? His answer to me was, I want to be a carpenter. And that drew laughter from all of our local children. And I asked them, why are you guys laughing? Oh. And they looked at him. The same boy that asked me about the money thing, told this boy, this Filipino boy, you can't make money as a carpenter. It's stupid.
Oh.
And so, you know, Danny, MOE can do whatever it wants. Great. I mean, I applaud them. You guys helping each other out for this. Great. But it is still the mindsets of the Singapore household that has got to change. So this is what I mean.
From a macro
scale, man, how can we drive this into the homes that, please, musicians, you think it's easy doing this?
Mm.
But it's because they love this, they're good at it, and they want to grow that craft.
Let me address this a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right that it starts from the home.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm also involved with Respect SG. I don't know if you read about it. I can send it more information to you. What we have done is we work with RI, I mean, you know, Raffles, and also other schools, including very soon, hopefully, St. Pat's, where 16-year-old kids from Sec 4 students and Sec 3 students get to work in F&B. Now, why do I bring this up? Mm. It all comes from being humble.
Yeah.
You know, the kids that laugh at this boy?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. I mean, I'd like to remind people that Jesus was a carpenter. I better go and seek forgiveness.
Precisely. You know what I mean? But you're right.
I mean, don't laugh at someone.
Yeah.
But my point is this. The RI kids have been working with us for 7 years.
Right.
Every single one of them that went to work with us and do 3 weeks of working in the kitchen and service, they wrote things that I can't believe it. I can't believe how humbling this is. I can't believe how difficult is a job to serve someone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you see, me and you, when we were 17, 18, we were looking for our first job.
Yeah.
I was a waiter. Yeah. I worked as a waiter. I worked at 7-Eleven. I was working in 7-Eleven, funny enough, near Holy Family.
Okay.
The one that is near Holy Family.
Yeah.
The one at night where people come with don't know who from KTVs.
Yep.
And that's the one I worked at. I worked the midnight shift.
Okay.
Because it paid more.
Yeah.
I worked as a census. I always worked.
Yeah.
But you see, if young kids are protected in their homes, don't work, stay at home, study your math.
Right.
And they don't get to work outside and talk to other people.
Right.
Oh, that's not a good future.
Yep.
Because eventually EQ has to be as important too.
Well, you know, we've been talking for almost an hour and a half. So on that note, Danny, I'm just gonna end the show with just two things, okay? Just two more things. One, if recently you heard of Glassdoor, right? Online, there's a portal called Glassdoor.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And when people bitch and whinge about their employers and stuff like that, I unfortunately saw some on Reddit, okay? And these people were saying, these were like excerpts from the Glassdoor. Oh, what's the tagline was this, okay? Or rather the topic was, what's the worst industry or sector to work in? And I tell you, I'm just going to sum it up in a nutshell. F&B, stand too long. And you got to serve idiots. Accountancy. Accountancy. What was the bitching about accountancy? I think it was hours. A lot of hours spent, right? Sitting at the table. So sit too long.
Stand too long.
Sit too long. Yeah. Okay? Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm not going to mention the organization. They mentioned the organization's name, but it is a stat board, right? And it involves in engineering, right? You know what I mean, huh? And so many people stay there for so many years, for so long, to suffer. I'm not going to stay there for long anymore. I'm not going to be as silly as these boomers. Okay? And then plus, unceremoniously, they can just let you go, which they have done. So why should I stay there? Right? Oh, and then they're customer service. Oh my goodness. Retail as well. Retail in a department store, right? Because why? We're dealing with entitled Singaporeans. I said, you know what? You're going to list a whole finance as well. Okay. You're going to list down everything. You're going to run out of jobs.
Yeah.
You're going to run out of jobs, man. And it's like, what do you want? Too far, too low, too long, too short. What? What do you want?
It's sad. It's a sad situation.
It is, right? And we are pandering to them. Let me tell you something. This cover charge bullshit, if I can find out which idiot started that, I'll probably... I'm not going to go that far. Stupid. Someone must have started that trend. And then when you start that, people start losing work.
Well, I mean, most people don't charge cover charge. But I think what I'm trying to say is that then how do you put the value back to the musicians?
Exactly.
But it's a question that we are still grappling with, you know. And
on, Danny. You and I both know, man. The problem here, it would be landlords. I say that all so often. It's the landlords, man. If they don't charge that much, make a profit by all means, right? And don't get greedy. Everyone can. It's just going to be equitable for everyone. Right? There's, nobody's talking about that anymore. You know, having to be, businesses to be equitable. You make your money, I make my money, and we're all going to be happy.
It's hard to find good landlords, but you're right. I mean, we've got some good ones. We have to start negotiating with some, you know, more challenging ones. But there's a lot of things in play here. But I think coming back to what you said about this list of jobs that people don't want to do.
Yeah.
I have not regretted one day being a musician and in F&B. At the end of the day, it makes me really happy. Well, you know what makes me truly happy?
Yeah.
To be able to see a young band that we've taken in like Supersonic or even 53E when they first started.
Yeah.
And putting them on stage. You know why? I feel proud when they're on stage and they have a microphone.
Right.
And they're making a joke. They're making banter with the crowd. You know, that's what makes Singapore great.
Yeah.
Because without entertainment, without live music scene, without musicians, young people who are confident, then we are competing with some really dynamic countries out there.
Yeah.
Right? So the arts and culture and entertainment, I like to include that in, is part of our, identity.
Right.
And we should be very careful because what is happening in Bangkok, what is happening elsewhere, where entertainment is top notch.
Yeah.
Japan.
Yeah.
You know, when people go there for clubs and DJs are still working.
Right.
And then you look at Singapore, when one of our main things is tourism.
Yeah.
And if we don't focus on the content, how do you expect people don't want to come here and have fun?
It just can't be MBS, man. Come on.
It can't just be one or few things. It has to be a lot of things. People need to come here and say, you know, I went to this place. It's amazing.
Musicians. Like Zouk. Great. Zouk built this name.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Including the old Elvis.
Exactly.
The old Elvis and Concourse, they were in Duxton.
Exactly.
Right? Is Elvis Singapore, man? You know?
No, even Boat Quay in Circular Road. Bugis. Bugis when it was puzzling. Yeah.
Boom Boom Room.
Yeah, Boom Boom Room.
Yeah.
You know, all those places. Yeah. Hard Rock Cafe in the heydays.
Yeah. Oh, where
reggae, you know, Sundays.
Oh, man.
I was there.
That was even before Jive Talking came on, man. It was hot, man.
China Jam.
Yeah, China Jam. Yeah.
So, you know, Palm Room.
Yeah.
I think the era ended kind of round about there. And now, how do we rebuild it? You say it starts from home.
Yeah.
It starts from people respecting other people.
Yeah.
Come on. People are happy doing the work.
Yeah.
Who are you to judge?
Yeah.
If they're happy being musicians, carpenter,
right,
F&B,
right,
who are you to judge?
Last question.
Right.
If your son comes to you and says, Daddy, I'm going to be a muso.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I'll say go. I mean, I can't say anything. Very hard for me to say, no, don't do it. Very hard, you know. And, I would say go for it. But what I will do as a responsible parent, as I'm sure you would do, is to go through with them the challenges that they might face.
Yeah.
And what they might have to do, pull up their socks
and
understand it's not going to be easy.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
But will I ever stop him? No way. No way.
Awesome. To end this program, fuck that. This is not channel. Okay, no, I'm not going to go there. To end the show, we plucked this thing out, and just to showcase Danny Leung in action with a band, and this was during the pandemic period.
Wow, I remember this.
And you guys got together, right? You got your bands come together. You did something via Zoom.
Yeah, this is my friend from Jakarta. I just jammed to him last week.
Is that right?
Konko.
I got to say, man, when I listened to them, the singers, and my gosh, mind-blowing.
Thanks, bro.
Bloody brilliant.
Konko and Suraf Godfrey. By the way, Suraf is my partner at Blackbird. Go check him out, you know.
No, I'm going to go. I'm going to come down to Blackbird.
Please, no, I'm going to invite you.
Please do. I really love to come and listen to the music, man. Really, it's because this blew me away, and I just couldn't believe that it's done like this, you know, via Zoom. You know, I've had friends who've done that too. You know, Stephen Francis and the rest of his amazing stuff.
Yeah.
This is also damn good, man. Yeah. And that's Danny Leung, people, behind the sixth string. Enjoy the video. We're going to end the show. Hey, Kai, play the whole damn thing, will you? And here we go. And thank you, Danny. Thank you, brother. Okay.
gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me. You know you done me wrong, baby, and you'll be sorry someday. The thrill is gone. From me, the thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away from me. Hold off the leave on, but so lonely I'll be. Wish you well.